Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 3 of the study of Genesis. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Genesis chapter 48. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? We want to know you. Speak to us. We want to hear your voice in your word. We want to know the living word. Jesus, come and touch us today. In your name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 48, starting in verse 1. Sometime later, Joseph was told, "Your father is ill." So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has come to you," Israel rallied his strength and sat up on the bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me and said to me, 'I am going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give you this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you.' Now then, your two sons born to you in Egypt before me, I came to you here, will be reckoned as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine. Any children born to you after them will be yours. In the territory they inherit, they will be reckoned under the names of their brothers. As I was returning from Padan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan, where we were still on the way, a little distance from Ephrath. So I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath," that is Bethlehem. So what he's talking about here, and this is... This is really an amazing thing here, because Jacob is saying, listen, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, I'm going to give them your share in the inheritance with your brothers. So basically what Jacob is doing for Joseph is doubling his inheritance in Jacob, in Israel, over all of his brothers. You know, Jacob is one person, but he's got two sons, or Joseph is one person, he's got two sons, and Jacob is saying, your two sons will get, you know, double the inheritance. I'm adding them into the list of your brothers. This is going to forever change the way that the nation of Israel looks, obviously. For the most part, whenever the list of the different tribes are named out, Joseph never comes up. It's always Ephraim and Manasseh. And they're actually going to end up inheriting really the largest swath of land in the nation of Israel. They are going to be given the most. So this is a huge blessing and a huge favor on the part of Joseph. And the, you know, his father Jacob is bestowing on him just a tremendous amount of land and stuff and blessing. Verse 8. When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, "Who are these?" "They are the sons God has given me here," Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said, "Bring them to me so I may bless them." Now Israel's eyes were failing because of his old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too." Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both them, Ephraim on his right toward Israel's left hand and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger. And crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. It's almost as if... His eyes weren't failing him that bad. He could still tell. He still knew. And if you remember, Jacob was the younger. And the Lord blessed him. The Lord gave him all of these promises instead of his brother Esau. And the Lord gave him everything. And when he's seeing Manasseh and Ephraim, something comes over him as he's about to bless them. And he decides that it's the younger who's going to receive the greater blessing than the older. This is going to offend Joseph, but Jacob knows exactly what he's doing. Joseph is going to think, well, the man's going a little senile here. Maybe he thinks I brought, you know, them to him the wrong way. And I think the Bible is going to extreme lengths here to say that, you know, Joseph brings them up on the right and the left, opposite the right and the left of Jacob, so that Joseph understood exactly what he was doing. He wanted Manasseh at Jacob's right hand. And Jacob sees what he's doing, and he crosses his arms. Now, there's, of course, a little bit of imagery there, but I just love the fact that Jacob is like, I understand that just because he's the oldest doesn't mean that the Lord has determined that he's going to bless him the most. Birth order does not necessarily mean the most blessed in the Lord's economy. Verse 15. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on the earth. Now see, this blessing is going to come true because they are going to be called in his name. Ephraim and Manasseh are going to be two of the tribes of Israel. There's not going to be any distinct tribe of Jacob. In fact, to my knowledge, there's only one place in the Bible where the tribe of Jacob is listed, and that's in Revelation. So other than that, like, these two sons are going to be listed and named as Israel for the rest of their lives and for thousands of years, if not eternity. Verse 17, when Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, no, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, in your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, this is going beyond just a blessing. Jacob is understanding that he carries a prophetic weight over these two. He is prophesying over these two. And I wonder, you know, we don't know, we're not told, but it seems like the Lord has met Jacob about this. He's spoken to him beforehand. Either that or just in the moment, Jacob is sensing this or feeling this, but the clarity with which he's speaking here, it almost feels like he was prepared for this and he knew this. The Lord had spoken to him. I mean, remember the number of times that it's already talked about how many times God has met with Jacob. You know, he met with him here and he met with him here and he spoke here. It seems like it's all the time. Jacob is very much tied in with the Lord. He's a very prophetic person. The Lord speaks to him, and this seems no different, that the Lord has spoken to him ahead of time about Ephraim and Manasseh. And so he makes sure that he proclaims the blessings that the Lord has over each one, and he doesn't confuse them. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh, verse 21. Then Israel said to Joseph, I am about to die, but God will be with you and take you back to the land of your fathers. And to you I give one more ridge of land than to your brothers, the ridge I took from the Amorites with my sword and my bow. Now that's an interesting statement right there. He's giving him more land than his brothers. He's already saying, I want to give more land to you, Joseph, and to your descendants. But the thing that's very interesting is there's no other story about Jacob taking land from the Amorites with a sword and a bow. It could be that he's referencing the city of Shechem that his sons took and, you know, killed everybody, but it's not clear. I mean, that's a possibility, but it seems like it might actually be something else. No one knows for sure what he's talking about here, but the thing that I love about this is, you know, we have these stories in the Bible about Jacob and his sons and everything that goes on. And sometimes we can look at these things and we can think, well, this is like his life. This is everything. And this is like the most condensed Reader's Digest version of Jacob's life or anyone in the Bible. I mean, imagine if someone wrote a comprehensive biography about your life, you know, what would be in it? This is just the most necessary high points of people's lives in the Bible. We're getting so little information. I love it when there's these little hints that there's more to the story. There's more that went on. You know, they had amazing lives. I mean, especially if you live to be 147, and you know, you traveled as much as they did, and the Lord was with you, and I'm sure there were amazing stories. And one of the things that I love about this, Jacob was a real person who existed in real time and real space. And one day Jesus is going to return, and we're going to spend eternity not only with him, but with Jacob and Joseph and Judah. And all of these people, we will have access to them. And I love the fact that one day we may have the opportunity to tell us about that story, Jacob, when you took the ridge from the Amorites. Tell us that story. Tell us some more stories that we didn't get to hear while we're here on earth. Imagine the opportunity to do that, not only with Jacob, but with you, with your friends, with other people you know. There is a world without end that the Lord has promised us. And I love these little hints here because these were not just stories. These were real people. Real people that if you believe in Jesus, if your allegiance and faith is in Jesus, you will meet these people one day. You will have access to the other part of these stories. And I love that. I love thinking about that. I love meditating on that. I love pondering what that's going to be like. And I hope that you can just enjoy some of these things. Some people get tripped up on, well, where is this? And why is this in there? And what is he talking about? And I just love that it's kind of like a little hint and a wink, that there was more to it. And that one day there's probably going to be access to find out the whole story. Not yet, but soon enough. Maybe we can enjoy a few more years here on earth, but soon enough we'll have access. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. And as always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes or wherever else you listen to this podcast. It really does help other people find out about the podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I said podcast a lot in that last sentence. Maybe I should start saying podcast less. You know you're listening to a podcast.